Choreographer Bella Lewitsky says she eliminated the narrative from her dances because she believes dance is strongest when it's full of implication. She wants a dance to offer questions, not answers. Lewitsky is one of the pioneers of modern dance on the West Coast. Her career spans 5 decades. For 15 years, she was the star of the Los Angeles modern dance troupe founded by Lester Horton. Alvin Ailey is also an alumnus of the company. Since 1966, Lewitsky has headed her own company. Lewitsky says she works with dancers from the bones out. I asked her what that means.
I start really with alignment as the basis for my technique, which varies from what I learned from Lester in probably a few or a large number of areas. I start with a skeleton and want to make sure that it follows the physical laws of proper placement.
When you're realigning one of your dancers, what do you do? What are you doing?
I am asking that their hip not be thrust out to the back, creating a shortening of the lordosis area, nor the rib thrust far to the forward, amplifying that. That the shoulders not be pinched together but opened out, permitting an easy song-like breath through the thoracic cavity. And just asking that the skeleton be realigned and balanced so that it is as strongly functional as possible.
So it sounds like your choreography starts with therapy.
In some cases, the realignment starts with therapy, but my dance technique may begin with that, but it's the lesser aspect of it. I train to a level of strength and flexibility which should balance out so that hopefully my dancers will have an even amount of both. Also, I like simplicity of line, and I will undo, no matter how long it would take me, if I've made the mistake of hiring somebody who is highly mannered, I seldom do, I would undo that mannerism to have a look of simplicity in the body that goes out into space without interruption. That, for me, is probably the most single important look that I would want to create in a dancer, because from that, which is like a balance, a norm, a centering, you can move in endless directions.
You're one of the pioneers of West Coast dance. And, you know, a lot of people, no matter where they are in the United States, end up moving to New York because that is one
yes.
of the dance and music capitals of the world.
Right.
What was behind your decision to stay in Los Angeles?
Probably the most dominant aspect of my decision to stay is that I'm a native mm-hmm. Angelina. I respond, I think, emotionally, probably physically, and I suspect mentally, to being surrounded by desert, sea, and mountains. It's a very particular environment, and sun, and space. I find it a productive climate for me. I visited New York. I much admire the things that occur in the dance world in New York, but remember that we are not really isolated.
Have the serious arts in Los Angeles been eclipsed over the years by the entertainment industry?
Oh, without question. The movie industry was totally dominant and consumed everything. And that community had very little liking for art, art in the sense of it's being a fine art.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever end up working in films temporarily?
That's how I earned my living.
Oh, really? What kind of work?
Dancing, always. But dancing in films, Pride and Prejudice, Anna Karenina, you know, I date back a bit.
Name some more.
And a whole set of RKO, Oklahoma, with Agnes DeMille, and there as her assistant, not as a dancer. And my mentor, Lester Horton, also earned his living in films. We did a whole series of films for Universal Studios. Yes, we earned our keep that way.
Do you think it was good for you to end up dancing in movies?
No. It's a way of earning a living.
But it took time away from your own dance.
Well, I was the oddity who, on a movie set, did not play cards, gossip, do my nails. I climbed behind some set and was working on a concert piece, which, incidentally, would make you a person slightly outcast from the Hollywood dancer.
You danced with Lester Horton's company from, I think it was 1937 to 1950.
You're probably right.
When you left, was it a hard decision to make? And did you ever worry that he would be offended because you were leaving?
Yes to both of those questions. We taught our classes in the theater, which meant that anyone teaching a class would have their back to the audience and facing the class. I didn't know that he was seated in the audience. And after I'd finished my class, he came up to me and said very quietly, "Bella, why are you not teaching my materials?" Well, he might as well have thrown a bucket of ice on me, because I hadn't the foggiest notion that I wasn't teaching his materials. I probably had already begun to develop a direction that was my own. That entered me into the process of, if I have done this, it's probably a time that I should be leaving.
You started your own company.
I did.
And you not only choreographed for it, you continued to dance till you were 62, I think?
Right.
That strikes me as a pretty old to keep dancing.
I have a strong body, and I never danced with my company because the age difference was incredible.
Oh.
So I danced solo parts within a company piece or did solos so that the contrast would not work as a detriment choreographically or to either the young people in my company or myself. But yes, I did dance until I was 62, and I think honorably. I mean, I was not really limping about the stage. Well, I still had a strong technique at 62.
Why was that your cutoff point? Why weren't you dancing at 63?
For health reasons.
Uh-huh. You strike me as having a pretty remarkable body. And I was wondering if it's been difficult for you to accept the changes of aging, or if that hasn't been hard to accept.
Growing old is not the most wonderful thing that ever happened. I used to state that one of the best things that happens is you go in half price into the movie and you get half fare on buses when you grow to be old. There isn't a heck of a lot that's better about that. No, because you are beset by aging illnesses. All of us are.
You're in the position of working with young dancers who are gorgeous to look at, who are in fabulous physical shape. Do you ever get jealous of them?
No. No. I've had a rich and satisfying life, and this is another voyage for me. I head into what is now a last stage of my life, and it's full of information, too. It's amazing. Life's interesting for me. You learn, for instance, not to have the anxieties you had when you were younger.
Uh-huh.
Because like a Janus, you can see back and you can see forward and you are in the present. No young person has this capacity. And it's one of the gifts given to an older person.
I want to ask you about a project you're working on now, the Dance Gallery, which I think is scheduled to open in Los Angeles in 1990.
If you and I cross everything.
Now, this is going to be a space designed solely for dance performance.
Exactly.
Which is very unusual. Most dancers dance in theaters that were designed to accommodate all kinds of other performances.
Right, and what a friend of mine once dubbed purposeless facilities. And I've told her I use that expression over and over again because it doesn't work.
So what are you going to have for dance that other theaters
sight
don't
lines,
have?
Sight lines which are as near perfect as we can make them, which means you line up the house directly with the stage. What we offer from the ground up is that we can head toward an ideal if we can afford it. Ample wing space, everything up off the floor that a dancer might trip over, of course a resilient floor surface, which is not usable if you have theater. If it's a shared facility with theater, because theater pounds into the floor.
Uh-huh.
A resilient floor for them is awful. And for a dancer, of course, the body is destroyed if it isn't a resilient flooring.
I wish you the best of luck with it.
Thank you.